This is WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light.
Well, hello, and welcome to this Divine Mercy edition of WSFI Spotlight. I'm Angela Tomlinson, and with me on the line is Dr. Brian Thatcher, MD. He is the founder of the Eucharistic Apostles of Divine Mercy. The ministry is an apostolate of the Marian Fathers based in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. The mission is to spread the message of divine mercy to a hurting, working primarily through their prayer groups or cenacles. They are active in over 40 countries and have received three apostolic blessings for that work from the late St. John Paul II. They also spread the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, promoting the praying of the chaplet for the sick and for the dying, and the beauty of the gift of all human life. They promote the notion that divine mercy is more than a message or devotion. It's a way of life. So welcome, Dr. Thatcher, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, and I looked up our archive because I remember being so impressed with your apostle. I think we had you on the air in 2020 or 21, so it's been too long a time, Doctor.
It's great to be back.
Yes. So we have the Feast of Divine Mercy coming up on this Sunday. What are the graces given to the soul on this feast day?
Well, the Lord asked St. Faustina to kind of resurrect the Feast of Divine Mercy. It was in the early church, but then drifted away and was forgotten about. And he told her that the soul that will come to Mass in a state of grace, we go to confession during the Lenten season. If we've gone to confession within the last several weeks, we're in a state of grace. We go to Mass when we receive Holy Communion. He said that your soul becomes as white as snow. It's almost as if we receive a second baptism. And, you know, when we go to confession, our sins are forgiven. But still, there's a stain on our soul that when we die, we have to account for. And that place of cleansing of the soul, or a time of cleansing of the soul, we believe in Catholics, it's called purgatory. Some theologians have told me the greatest pain of purgatory is the longing to see God. But see, they've made it. They just have to get their soul cleansed, because souls must be pure to sit and stand in front of the good Lord. And so on this day, our souls are totally cleansed. It's like a teacher that takes his eraser on the chalkboard and erases all our sins off the chalkboard. It's as if we were a baby again. He said that the graces will be pouring down from heaven on that day. And whether we know about it or not, if we just have those minimal requirements, then we have received those graces. So it's a day of incredible grace.
You know, we did have a discussion here internally. We've been going back and forth about the difference between a plenary indulgence, if any, and the indulgence that our Lord is promising in this devotion. Do you have any thoughts on that, Doctor?
Well, first of all, I'm not a theologian, but my understanding is this. There's two parts here. What the Lord promised to St. Faustina on that day.
Yes.
The minimal requirements that I said. You know, if there's an image in the church, we venerate the image, but it's not a requirement. There's a novena that the Lord asked Faustina to make. That's not a requirement as well. People say, well, do I have to go to confession on that day? No. Theologians say within a few weeks, even after the feast day. So the Lord doesn't give us this great grace and then set the bar so high that nobody can meet it. You know, if you're disabled, if you can't get out, if you're elderly, you can watch Mass at home and make a spiritual communion. So that's what the Lord promised to Faustina. But then Pope John Paul came in and put his stamp of approval, the Church's approval on this feast day, and said, this is an official feast day in the Church, and to get the plenary indulgence, then you have to do all the normal things. You know, try to have total desire never to sin again. Well, you know, I don't know if I could ever do that. I mean, I try, but 10 minutes later, my mind's working again, or my speech is bad, or whatever. And then you make, you know, the three Hail Marys, Glory to Thee, and Our Fathers for the intentions of the Holy Father. So that's the church's stamp of approval.
Right.
So there is a little difference.
Well,
but I always refer back to the statements in the diary, frankly.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's a huge difference for me, because when I read it in the diary over and over again, there wasn't the challenge or hurdle of having complete, detachment from sin. Because you never really, like with me, I never know, do I have it or I don't? But the way the diary has it, it was clear what you have to do on that day, and everything was forgiven, which is enormous,
exactly.
Especially in this world today where we're just flooded with, proximate causes of sin, I'll just put it that way. So the joy to me of this Divine Mercy Sunday is what you said, what Jesus actually said to Faustina as it's written in the diary. And then it's also wonderful that the Pope is affirming that as a plenary, but it's almost like this is one step above and beyond a plenary, because the bar, like you said, isn't as difficult, I think, spiritually.
I totally agree. And I think the major point of the church putting its stamp of approval on it is that it's just that. It's a feast day in the church, and it's approved. Faustina's writings were all approved. And so that, to me, is what makes the church's stamp so important.
Yes.
But I go back to the diary,
yes.
And that's what I cling to.
Yes. What does it mean when you were saying venerate the image? What does that mean, to venerate the image?
To venerate means to show respect. It may be a bow of the head. It may be a genuflection. But really, this message of Divine Mercy is all about the heart of the essence of the Divine Mercy message. Jesus had his heart pierced out of love for us. We have to have love for Jesus in our heart. You can have these things, you know, we have all these things in our head, but for me, it's like 100 miles to go from the head to the heart.
Yes.
And when we venerate the image, we're just saying, Jesus, I love you so much. You died for me. Help me love you more. Help me avoid sin. Help me be a reflection of your image to my children, to my spouse, to my grandkids, and the people in my workplace, some who may be so difficult to work around. Help me be love, because you are love. And when we have love in our heart, we have God with us. And that's what this is all about.
So when you look at that image, what do you see? Do you have some thoughts about the image?
When I look at the image, we asked a rabbi many years ago about that image, Father Mykolenko did, and the rabbi said, well, I don't know who this is, but this man, whoever he is a high priest. And remember, in the Old Testament, it was only the high priest that could enter the Holy of Holies and receive a blessing for the people from God on the Feast of Yom Kippur. So we have a high priest. Now, remember, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, it was Passover. So the Jews celebrated Passover by eating an unblemished lamb. And in our faith, we know that Jesus in the Eucharist, we say, behold the Lamb of God. So when I see the image, I see a high priest, but he's also the sacrifice. He's the high priest, and he's in the Eucharist. And, you know, when his hands are raised in a blessing, and I think of after the resurrection, here we have all the apostles were scared. They didn't know what was going on. And Jesus comes through the walls. His hand is raised in a blessing, and he said, peace be with you. That same peace he wants to give to all of us in all the struggles, the adversities, the curveballs that life throws us. He says, peace be with you. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And Jesus' hands and feet and side bore the marks of the crucifixion. Now, amazingly, it was Longinus, the centurion who pierced Jesus' side, Scripture tells us that after he did that, he realized that this was the Son of God. Longinus is Saint Longinus, and afterwards he traveled to Europe and converted millions to Christianity. And this whole image, we see the Eucharist in it, because Jesus said the red rays symbolize the blood, which is the life of souls, when in a spiritual sense, that represents the Eucharist. That's our food for the journey. He said the pale rays symbolize the water, which cleanses souls. That's baptism and reconciliation. So it's a sacramental image. It calls us to a sacramental life. So we have Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and here we have this resurrected Lord, Easter morning. It's all wrapped up in a single image. It's an amazing image.
Yes.
And then below it, he wanted the words, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, for me, trust is easy when everything's going fine. When the bills are paid, when everyone's healthy, when the kids are doing good in their marriages, and everything's going well in their families as they raise grandchildren, I'm the most trusting person on the earth. But what do we do when we get hit with the abnormal mammogram or chest pain, and it looks like we may have had a heart attack or all kinds of medical problems, financial problems, whatever? We pull back that trust. In my own life, I used to be a GI specialist, and I did a lot of surgeries, and I used to be in charge. And for me, the struggle is when things get crazy, I want to take back ownership and say, well, Lord, you messed up again. It's time for Brian to come in and fix it. And that leads to disaster. Because trust means, Jesus, you're in charge. I want to do your will. Help me walk in your will. If this is a cross that I have to carry, then just give me the strength to carry it. And it doesn't mean trusting in God means everything's going to be fine, because we know that's not the case. Life is filled with adversity and difficulty. So I just see a lot of things in the image, and it just encompasses so many facets of our Catholic faith.
That's so beautiful. You know, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Dr. Brian Thatcher, who is a medical doctor, and I didn't realize that your specialty was GI. So you worked on people's stuff. That's a place that stress shows up, isn't it?
You know, it's interesting. Looking back, I've been retired for many years. I gave up my practice to spread the message of divine mercy. But I look back, and I bet 80%+ of people that came in my office for abdominal pain, it was all stress-related. And I wish I knew back then what I know now, because it would have been a much different physician.
Isn't that interesting? You mean, so the psychological impact of it on our bodies? We really are one person, aren't we? Our mind, our soul, and our body all impact each
That's
other.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, so we'll start a group called GI Doctors No More. Jesus, I trust in you. Get rid of the stomach anxiety.
Right. That's the answer. That's the cure.
So did you just say that you gave up your practice to do this?
Yes.
What's behind that?
Well, make a long story short, I was a very materialistic, successful physician, making more money than I ever imagined. Unfortunately, I was never home. I was in the emergency room and ICUs, and I had a workload that I just didn't know how to turn off, which was a weakness. And that all came crashing down. In 1991, I went to Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Mexico. I took an afternoon off after going to I came out there to Mexico for a GI conference, and I went to see the Tilma, and what I saw, I never forgot, because after the mass, I saw all these poor people in their ragged, tattered clothing outside, eating on the grass and eating, you know, burritos and tacos and singing and laughing. And here I was, this rich American, knowing that there had to be more to life than this. And I just looked at that and said, something's wrong with this picture.
Wow.
Because my life was not in order.
So then what?
Well, a year later, a friend on a retreat handed me the Diary of Faustina, and Things have never been the same since. I fell in love with the message, and there was a quote in the diary that hit me the greatest. It was almost as if the fonts became a 28 size instead of a 12. It was, "The greater the sinner, the greater the right to my mercy." You know, we think we sinned so much, we've done so many bad things, that God could never forgive us. That's totally, totally wrong. He just wants us back. We're like the lost sheep, and he's so happy when the lost sheep comes back. He's like the father in the prodigal son story. He was so happy. Scripture in Luke, you look up and it says the father saw the son coming back from a distance. He was out looking for him. And our sins are never so great. His mercy is unfathomable. Faustina wrote, "No mind, whether it be angelic or human, will ever understand his mercy. We just have to accept it for what it is. It's like Mercy Sunday. Who can believe the graces? Who can believe that they're going to have their soul wiped clean? Just accept it and love God more. His mercy is unfathomable." And then I began to really get into the diary, and one thing led to the other, and we wrote manuals to guide people through the diary, and that formed our first Divine Mercy prayer group 30 years ago, and the Marians asked us to come under them as an apostolate. We're now in the actual statutes of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception in Rome. We're part of the order.
Wow.
And it's not a third order, because the Marians don't have a second order, but we try and get people to read the diary, and we bring in scripture and the catechism, and people share. It's a faith-sharing operation where people learn to grow together. It's like a small church within the bigger church. And then over time, we want those groups to do works of mercy to build the church up. So it's been an incredible ride. I've traveled the world. I've been in the mountains in Peru. I've been in villages in Africa. I'm heading back to the Philippines in August, and I wouldn't give up these last 30 years for anything.
This is just an incredible story. Are you the person who put through, we have one of those Divine Mercy flyers for the sick and the suffering, or it's like a, is that
you? It's in the dime. That's us.
Wow. I just ran out. I had no idea where I got them. It's probably on the bottom of that flyer. But that is, if anyone's listening, if there's one flyer that you can get during this season, I would say that's got to be it. That is the most beautiful thing that you put together.
Well,
how would they get more information, Doctor?
They can actually go to shopmercy.org, the Marian's website. The flyer is "Praying the Chaplet for the Sick and Dying."
Yes.
And if they type that in, it'll pop up. Now,
yes.
A story on that. Before the Jubilee year 2000 in 1999, Father Mykolenko, we wanted information because Jesus said in the diary, if you prayed the chaplet at the bedside of the dying, he would be there as the merciful Savior and not as a just judge. I could give a whole half-hour talk on praying for the sick and dying, because when I was a doctor, I'd have people die in front of me, and I went home dismayed and discouraged, and I never thought, I just witnessed an incredible spiritual event. That person was getting ready to meet the Lord, and I didn't do anything about it. And Father Mykolenko asked the Pope, what if a person's not at the bedside? Say I get a call that my son in Baltimore is in a bad wreck and he's near death. What if I pray the chaplet? Will the promises still hold? Well, the Pope said yes.
Wow.
But then he came back and said, will you encourage people to pray during their time of Eucharistic adoration in front of our Lord, to pray that chaplet for the sick and the dying in that hour? And he gave us, that's one of the three papal blessings. And if people want more information on that, they can go to the Marian's website of Divine Mercy at thedivinemercy.org. Scroll down until you see Eucharistic Apostles. Click on that, and you'll find stuff on it there. But we have well over 1,200 chapels and churches all over the world. I just sent a papal blessings out last week to a nun in India, and I'm waiting to hear back when she got it or has she received it, but it's an amazing work of mercy. You can't say well, I'm too old or I'm too disabled or whatever, I'm too busy, you can pray a chaplet for those sick and dying in that hour, and it's a beautiful work of mercy.
And especially if you're old, because I think it's more efficacious, or especially if you're suffering, you personally are suffering, to offer your sufferings, unite them with Christ, and pray that. I mean, how powerful is that?
Well, Faustina had a great love for the dying, and she would be bilocated to the bedside. One occasion, there was an elderly man who, there were demons around the bedside. He was restless and anxious, and she began to pray the chaplet, and Jesus appeared just as he is in the image, and the demons fled, and the man died a peaceful death. If you knew how many times people have told me we prayed the chaplet for a loved one or for friends, family members, and the man died or woman died a peaceful death, I mean, it's incredible. It's totally incredible.
Oh. Why do you say it's a way of life? I was looking at some of the things that you've written here, and it said, share with us about how Divine Mercy is a way of life.
Well, back in 1997, we had our second Divine Mercy conference in Tampa, and I had no idea what I was doing, but the title of the conference was Divine Mercy is a Way of Life. And what I came to realize that back then we were so focused on the feast day and the image and the chaplet that people, they had a relationship with God. You know, if you look at the cross, you have the vertical beam. That's our relationship with God. But people struggle all the time in the horizontal beam, their relationship with family, relationship with spouses, etc. And that's the second part of the message. We have to live this message. We have to let those rays of blood and water penetrate our stony hearts and be, like Ezekiel says, have hearts of love and for caring. And we need to be a reflection of the image, and we need to forgive. Now, forgiveness is a big part of this devotion and message as well. We have to forgive others, and that doesn't mean avoiding people. That doesn't mean not saying anything bad about them. We have to forgive from our heart, and we also have to forgive ourselves. Many people have difficulty in forgiving themselves. But remember, God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. Forgiveness. We talked about trust. Being merciful. Interestingly, the Lord never asked St. Faustina to do works of mercy. He told her, I demand from you deeds of mercy. And here's the key part, which are to arise out of love of me. We're doing these deeds of mercy out of love of God. There's a fascinating story in the diary where one winter there was a poor man at the gate outside the convent, and Faustina used to go out and bring these people in and feed them. Well, they were very poor. That was the late 1930s, and they didn't have a lot of extra food around, so the other nuns used to get upset with her. And she brought this elderly man in, tattered clothing, freezing. It was a winter day in Poland, and she found an old potato and a piece of bread. She heated it up, fed it to him, walks back to the sink, turns around, and the man has disappeared. And in his place was sitting Jesus Christ himself. And he told her, I have come down from my throne of mercy to taste the fruits of your mercy. So that's what we have to keep in mind when we do deeds of mercy. That's a part of living the message. And as I mentioned, we're all going to suffer. Right now, our family's going through a very, very difficult time. And I have really come to understand a phrase which I've known about and written about for years. Faustina said, through suffering, love becomes crystallized. Love takes shape. It's like when you make crystals on a stick. Before the crystals form, it's like these sugar and water in a suspension. But when the crystals form, it takes a shape. And God is love. And when we suffer, we have to suffer out of love. We have to love while we suffer. But if we can do that, carry our cross, do it out of love, we become Christ-like. And we're all trying to become Christ-like. So, yes, we will carry our cross. But when we do things out of love, that's a very good sign that we're either doing God's will or we're very close to it. People ask me, how do I know I'm doing God's will? And I say, well, if you're doing things out of love and love is in your heart, you've got to be close because God's love. And so we carry our cross, we reach out and help others, we trust in the Lord, and we have to forgive others and ourselves. That's the way of life.
And you know, what was coming to my mind when you were talking was, there's this, I don't know, I want to use the word a myth that I hear, that God wants us to be happy. God doesn't want us to suffer. Which, you know, I explain that, because is that really true? That explain this about God's will and suffering.
God wants us to be happy, but I think suffering's part of the scriptural message. You know, pick up your cross and carry me. But because we have suffering doesn't mean we have to be miserable. To be suffering doesn't mean we have to be angry at God. You know, I guess the role model for that, other than Jesus himself, would be Job. Job had everything taken away, but there's one thing he would not do, even though his wife wanted him to, was condemn God. He felt like, God is a good God. I love God. I'm not going to condemn the God. I'm going through all these trials. That's the hard part. I wish there were easy answers for all this, but it's cling to the cross. You know, like the lady in the scripture, touch his garment. Just hang on. And we've got the Blessed Mother. Think of her suffering. Imagine her eyes when they met Jesus on the road to Calvary. That was love looking at love. Her heart was pierced, you know, seven sorrows. She didn't have an easy life. It's just part of the walk. But at the end of the day, we have to let Jesus, I trust in you, be our motto, an anchor. And then we will have peace, even though the world is on fire around us. That's the enigma of all this. We can have that peace and joy even though we're suffering. All the saints suffered. We're trying to be Christ-like, and we're going to suffer. But the more we trust, he told Faustina, the more graces we will receive. And it's not like our heart can only hold so many graces. It's as if our heart gets bigger and bigger and contains these graces. And then they overflow this joy to others. That's the Christian message. Be joy-filled. We know the end of the story. It all comes back to trust.
And don't you think growth comes from adversity? Growth comes from adversity. If we didn't have, I think in my own life, you know, I'm just looking back, a lot of the things that I thought were the end of the world were the end of that world, but not really the end of the world, the much better world that that I'm in throughout my life.
I think you hit on a great point there. We can grow from suffering. That's partially why I think suffering exists, so we can grow. But we have to remember, we want to become better.
Right.
But some of us are bitter instead of becoming better. And we will grow from it. You know, it's a crazy thing. I'm a protective father. You know, I try to help my kids out and help them maybe prevent sufferings. But then I look at my own life and I go, my biggest learning experience in my whole Christian walk has been through my biggest mistakes.
Yeah.
And it's only when I kid and said I was so low that I could only look up. And when I looked up, there was Jesus just waiting for me. But see, that's part of the ABCs of mercy. A is ask for his mercy. Many people don't ask. They don't think they're good enough, or they don't need God. That's pride. We think all of our successes and we're so smart, it's all because of our own doing. That's nonsense. Ask for his mercy. Be merciful to others. And then C, completely trust. That's the ABCs.
That's so beautiful. Dr. Thatcher, we're at the top of the hour. We'll have a hard break in a minute or so. I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to be on WSFI Catholic Radio and WNDZ. God bless your apostolate. Maybe one more call out on how people can find out more about the Eucharistic Apostles of Divine Mercy.
Yes, thank you. They can go to the Marian's Divine Mercy site at thedivinemercy.org for organization, and scroll down and you'll see Eucharistic Apostles. Click on that and it'll take you kind of our page, and there's all kinds of reading and my podcast, and you can find out about the cenacles and praying for the sick and dying and more. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, and hopefully it won't be another 2 years. We'll have to make this an annual event. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you.
This has been WSFI Spotlight. For more information on this or any other program, email info@wsfiradio.org.
Here to the Apostle.